3:00 in the morning, it was really
okay. We're starting at Lama Bet Amubet at the bottom. Okay, today's daf is Lama Gimel. I just want to point out, Lama Gimel is a really strange daf. It all has to do with the printer. Okay? The printer, for whatever strange reason, decided to put the Tosfot, okay, if you look at Lama Gimel Lama Aleph, the first Tosfot there says Ra'at HaKoy, and if you look at, there's a little Aleph there, and the Aleph says Zeh HaDibor Shayach LeKaman, belongs to Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. And then if you look at the next Dibor HaMatchil, my time at the Beit Shammai, if you look at the bet there, the Masoret HaShas tells you, Mikam Va'ad Dibor HaMatchil Amrei Hacha, Shayach Lidaf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. Somehow the printer maybe had an issue with the spacing and couldn't fit it all. So he basically put them all on Lamed Gimel. And if you look at Lamed Gimel Lamed Bet, it's all full of Tosfots. And they're all from before. It's very strange. Like, I guess to end the Perek, maybe they just stuck all the... Although it's not really just the end. I don't know. I can't even explain it. But anyway, it means that we have a very short daf, so we're going to do Lamed Dalet today. And we'll do Lamed Hei tomorrow. And Shabbat, we won't have to do a daf. Okay. Starting with the Mishnah at the bottom, which we saw. I'm actually going to explain it a little better than I explained it the other day. Now I understand it better. So there's people walking on a path, six people. One is coming toward them. Right? I'm going to be a Nazir if that's so-and-so. So I suggested maybe other interpretations, but it seems that everyone seems pretty clear that his point is, this is not whoever you thought it was. I thought maybe you could say it's something else, but no. He's basically saying, you know, whatever you say, I'm saying the opposite, right? Meaning only one of them can really be a Nazir if we go by exactly what they say. Hareini Nazir she'echa mikem Nazir. Okay, then the next guy says, I'm going to be a Nazir if one of you is a Nazir. The next guy says, she'ein echa mikem Nazir. Okay, guy number four says, I'm going to be a Nazir if one of you is not a Nazir. Okay, which basically means they're basically saying the same thing. They're just saying it, you know, once maybe in more positive and in more negative lashon.
And when the fourth talks, is he talking about one and two? Only?
Yeah, they're all, it seems like everybody thinks that they're referring always to one and two.
Well,
three is referring to one and two, and four is referring to one and two. Sheshnechem nizirim. That's why it seems clear, because they're talking about two. They're in pairs. Then the next guy says that both of you are nizirim, which, right, can't be because, right, they can't. Again, depending on how you view this whole thing. They could be, actually, because we're going to see one opinion that says they're all nizirim. But anyway, shekulchem nizirim, that all of you are nizirim, okay, which is basically, right, he's referring to everybody now, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Beit Shammai Amrim Kulam Nizirim. Beit Shammai says they're all Nizirim. Why? Because the truth doesn't matter here. The fact is they all wanted to take upon themselves Nizirim. Ubeit Hillel Amrim Eino Nazir Ela Mi Shelo Nitkaimu Dvarav. A very strange thing.
Backwards.
Right, backwards. Beit Hillel says the only person who's a Nazir is someone that his words didn't come true. We're going to get to the Gemara and try to...
They all not become Nazirim and get malkut for talking so lightheadedly.
Right. And it's inappropriate that they're speaking this way. Yes.
You're supposed to be...
Right. You're supposed to take what you say seriously, and this is all kind of making a joke of it. That's true. And it seems inappropriate. And maybe that's why Beit Shammai wants to say, you're all Nazirim. Right. Like, that's his punishment to them. Which is basically, in essence, almost like getting malkut, like you suggest. Because in the end, if they do, they go against their Nazirut, they're going to get malkut. So I think Beit Shammai is taking your approach, which is also goes well with what Beit Shammai in general, their approach. V'Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Ein Echad Mehem Nazir. Rabbi Tarfon says, no one is a Nazir. Okay? Why? We're going to see this famous line of Rabbi Tarfon, which comes up in a bunch of different places in Shas, which is that, according to Rabbi Tarfon, it says, Ki Yafli Lindor Neder Nazir. You made a hafla'ah. What's a hafla'ah? A declaration. Yeah. Now, a declaration has to be something that you take upon knowing what you're getting into. In other words, it's a clear-cut declaration. It's not something that's subjective, dependent on something, or maybe, right, maybe it will come true, maybe it won't come true. So we're going to see it inside, but that's basically his approach is there's no such thing as taking upon a zirut in such a way. Okay? Hirtia la'achorav, eino nazir. Okay, now, if the guy turns around and disappears, and we never know who he is. This reminds us of which case? Remember, there was the pile and how much is in it, and then the pile gets lost, right? If there's mea kora, then I'll be a nazir. And if not, then I won't, right? And then the whole question, it was machloka, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, we're going to reference it again, okay, about whether we view this as nazirut or not. So we're going to see soon in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, whose opinion this is, okay? That if the guy disappears, then no one's a nazir. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yomar, if this is the situation, you should say, Im haya kidvarai, hareini nazir chova, v'im lav, hareini nazir nidava. Now this is Rabbi Shimon, who there also by the carry said that there was this issue. And remember what the problem is, according to Rabbi Shimon? That if we don't know if there was mea kor or not. So what's this issue? You're a sapek nazir, according to... Remember, we had two approaches. One is we go l'chumra, and one is we go l'kula. So if we go l'kula, we say you're not a nazir. If we go l'chumra, we say you're a nazir, but it's worse than that. Because if you're a nazir, what happens? We don't know for sure that you're a nazir. So you're a nazir misafik, which means you can't bring the korbanot, because you can't bring korbanot misafik. If you can't bring korbanot misafik, then you're stuck and you're a nazir forever. So what does Rabbi Shimon provide as a solution? Well, you should take upon yourself a nazirut and say, if this was really true what I said, then I'll be my nazir chova. And if not, then I'll be a nazir nedava. And then you can bring korbanot mimanafshach, right? Either which way, you're chayav. Okay, Gemara starts right away with this weird lashon of Beit Hillel that seems the reverse, right? Eno nazir ela misha lo nitkaimu dvarav. So the first obvious answer is, misha lo nitkaimu dvarav, amai have a nazir, right? Why would he be a nazir? So Amar Rav Yehuda, ema misha nitkaimu dvarav. Oh, it really means the one whose words were fulfilled, okay? And that's what it means. And therefore, it was a mistake, okay? I said it the opposite. So therefore, what does Beit Hillel say, right? If it came true, then you'd be a nazir. Abaye says, no, you could stick with the original Lashon, and now it becomes very complicated what Abaye says. There's many, many interpretations. Kigon de Amar, inami lav plonihu. Inami lav plonihu, if it's not ploni, ihavi nazir. Then, ihavi means eheye, okay? It's like putting it together. Eheye, ihavi, eheye, nazir. So, what exactly this means, it's not so clear. And then he just continues and he says, Umay lonit kaimut varav, lonit kaimut varav harishonim elat varav achronim. Basically, one interpretation which seems to go very well with the last line I just read is that it's talking about a case where everybody said what they said and then took back what they said. Okay? Which makes sense because the continuation said, and what does it mean, lonit kaimut varav? It means lonit kaimut varav harishonim, but varav achronim, which were the opposite. So that interpretation seems to work well with that. The obvious problem with that interpretation is it would be very odd in the Mishnah if everybody flipped their shitot. Okay? So there's a few other interpretations given that it means, I have to remember, you know, past the Koran, they brought a whole bunch, the iPad. It leads me right now. Second.
Instead of six different people changing their mind?
No. I don't think that was what they said. I'm sorry. I really just don't remember. Give me a second. Okay. So here. Okay. So they say, right. One is that he added at the end, even if it's not him, I'll still be a nazir. That's what the Mefarish says. Okay, that's the commentary on the nazir that we've seen. So that makes a little more sense, right? He says, he first said his statement like this, but then he said, even if it's not, I'm still going to be a nazir, which kind of matches Beit Shammai's whole approach, which is he really just wanted to take nazirut upon himself. And then, therefore, they're saying that the last thing he said works like that. They say that some people disagree with this because it's not really such a big chiddush. Obviously, if he said that, then that would be the case. So what would be the chiddush? So some people say that he said, if it is the individual you think it is, then I'm a nazir. But then he said, even if it's someone other than the person I think it is, I'll still be a nazir, which actually doesn't sound so much different. Then some people say it's like this. He said, I'm a nazir if this is Reuben and not Shimon. And then, right, he said, if it's this person and not this person, but then it turned out to be someone else entirely. So then we go by the last thing he said, which is, it's not Shimon. So it's true, it wasn't Shimon, it was Levi, let's say. So there's a bunch of different interpretations. It's still very unclear what exactly this means.
What we were learning on Arab, if I see the first black ox and then a white ox comes out. Mm-hmm. So there, it was always, didn't we determine that it was the first thing he said? Or...
It's a little different because there it wasn't clear what he said. And it's here it's clear what he said. He, right. Right. Well, we had also Tfos Lashon Rishon and Tfos Lashon Acharon. We had that whole thing. Remember we had a Homachloket? Right. We had, it more goes with this Tfos Lashon Rishon and Tfos Lashon Acharon that we had in a different sugya about if somebody says something and then, you know, Harini Nazir, and then he seems to say, you know, Almanacha Galech. Right? So then...
So in this case, we're adding the Lashon Acharon and then we're interpreting.
Right. Uh-huh. So, anyway, like I said, it's unclear exactly what this means, but obviously there was some sort of double thing that he said. We're going to follow the last thing, which again, Abaye, and that's what his benefit of Abaye is, he's not changing the words Shelo, right? Whereas the first interpretation got rid of the word Shelo, they just said it was a mistake. The downside of Abaye is it's not really, like, that doesn't sound like what the Mishnah was talking about. On the other hand, if you don't hold like Abaye, then you're stuck with this Shelo. How can you just erase that word? Now, we do that kind of stuff, and we do say sometimes things got passed down wrong, but anyway,
it's complicated. It also makes sense as a position to erase the Shelo, because you have everything.
Right, it makes a lot more sense.
And only those who...
Right. Right, it does make a lot more sense that he would say just those whose words came true. So anyway, okay. Hirtia la'acharav eino nazir. So now the Gemara makes an inference here. So if the guy disappears, you're not a nazir. But according to whoever said this, Tama Mishum Dehirtiya L'Acharav. Right, the reason he's not a Nazir is because the guy disappeared and we'll never know the truth. Ha'ate L'Kamam, but if the guy was actually there and we knew who he was, then Havi Nazir, right? Then if it came true, you'd be a Nazir. Mane, who does this hold like? Ilema Rabbi Tarfon, if you want to say this is Rabbi Tarfon, because remember, Rabbi Tarfon appeared just before. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Ein Chamehem Nazir. And then it says, Dehirtiya L'Acharav Ein O Nazir. So if you say Rabbi Tarfon, how could he be a Nazir? Kevan de Bishata de Kanazar, lo yada I plonihu vi lo. Right? According to Rabbi Tarfon, when you take upon the Nazirut, you have to know for sure you're going to be a Nazir. Okay? Now, this guy obviously didn't know for sure. He thought he knew for sure, right? But he didn't really know for sure. Otherwise, two people wouldn't be arguing about it if it was so clear cut. And here we're going to see Rabbi Tarfon's opinion. Vi lo, right? So he didn't know Iplonihu vi lo. And therefore, Michala le Nizirut, how could Nizirut have come upon him? How could he be a Nazir? Remember, the Mishnah says, if the guy disappears and we never see him and we'll never know who he was, then no one's a Nazir. But obviously, if we could find out who he was, someone would be a Nazir. So that can't be Rabbi Tarfon, because Rabbi Tarfon says, Va'atanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Tarfon, Ein Echad Mehem Nazir, talking about our case, he says, nobody's a Nazir. Lefi Shelo Nitznan Nizirut Ela Lahafla'a. Okay, Nizirut was given Lahafla'a, meaning you have to have a definitive taking upon the Zirut and not something that you have no idea if it's true or not. Ela Rabbi Yehuda de Krihu, it must be Rabbi Yehuda of the Kri, the pile. Okay, it must match Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. How? Titania Hareni Nazir al Menachi He Bekri Ze Me'akur. Right, I'll be a Nazir if in this Kri, in this pile, there's 100 kor, right, which is a huge amount, by the way. V'halachu mitza'o shenignavo she'avad. And then it turns out it was either stolen or it got lost. Rabbi Shimon Oser, Shimon says, you're a Nazir. Rabbi Yehuda Matir. And Rabbi Yehuda allows it. Rabbi Shimon Savar Kevandi Ilu Lo Nignav, Dil Mahavabu Me'akur, V'Havei Nazir. Hashtanami, Havei Nazir. So what does Rabbi Shimon say? Rabbi Shimon says, if it wasn't stolen, right, maybe it would have Me'akur and he'd be a Nazir. And therefore, Shimon holds, Misafek, you're a Nazir. So therefore, Hashanami, Havi Nazir. V'hachanami, Kevan di'i ati l'kamam v'yad'ina deploni havai, Havi Nazir, Hashanami, Havi Nazir. So therefore, also, in this case, if the guy would come before him and you'd know that it was ploni, he would be a Nazir. So therefore, also here, you'd be a Nazir. There was something I was stuck on yesterday, and I'm stuck on it again. I figured it out, but 1 minute. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, matches Rabbi Yehuda says you'd be a Nazir. Ah, right. Because Rabbi Yehuda says that you're right. Rabbi Yehuda says you're not a Nazir. That's what confused me. Rabbi Yehuda in the Kerry case says you're not a Nazir because in that case we don't know, right? And you would never, right? So Sefek Nazir Lahakel. But if you knew, you would be a Nazir. That's why. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you'd be a Nazir. That's why it matches exactly Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Because Rabbi Yehuda says here, Nirtia la'acharav eino Nazir, right? He's not a Nazir, but if he would have been there and we would have known who it is, then he would be a Nazir. That's Rabbi Yehuda's approach. Because Rabbi Yehuda thinks you're only a Nazir if we know for sure. If not, then you're not a Nazir. Rabbi Shimon's the one who says that you wouldn't be a Nazir, that you would be a Nazir misafek, right? Even if we don't know who the guy is. Okay, or we don't know how much is in the pile. Okay, Ra'at Akoy Va'amar Hareini New Mishnah. Ra'at Akoy Va'amar Hareini Nazir Shezeh Chaya. Now we're going to have an exact same case, but with a different situation. Koi it's a Sefek Behema, Sefek Chaya. Maybe it's neither, maybe it's its own thing, maybe it's both. Okay, there's a big halachic question about what this is. Not only is there a halachic question about what it is, there's a halachic question about what animal is called a koi. There's even a halachic disagreement about how you pronounce it. Is it kvi or koi? Okay, clearly there was a big issue about this. Some people think it was a water buffalo, I think is the... Some people think it's the water buffalo. Other people say that water buffalo didn't live in Eretz Yisrael in the time of the Mishnah, and therefore it couldn't be, because they wouldn't be talking about something that didn't exist. Other people maintain it's the muflan. I don't know what that is. It's a subspecies of wild sheep. Okay? Which is, it's a little strange to say it's a subspecies of a sheep, because then it should be clear whether it's chayar beima. Like, it shouldn't be a question if it's a subspecies of a sheep. So I thought that was a strange explanation.
If it's a hybrid,
If it's a hybrid, but right. This says it's just a subspecies of the wild sheep, right? Some people say it's a hybrid, born to a goat and a deer, or some other kosher wild animal. Clearly, it's a kosher animal. That everyone agrees with. Okay? The question is going to be, there's different halachot for a chayan be'ema when it comes to kisoy adam and when it comes to the chelev. So there are opposites in those cases, the be'ema and the chaya. So it's very relevant to know whether it's a chaya or a be'ema. Ra'at HaKoi, so he sees the koi, and he says, Hareini Nazir Shezeh Chaya. I'm a Nazir if this is a Chaya. The next guy says, Hareini Nazir Shezeh Eino Chaya. Yes, thanks. The next guy says, I'm going to be a Nazir if this isn't a Chaya. The next guy says, Hareini Nazir Shezeh Behema. I'm going to be a Nazir if this is a Behema. Next guy says, Hareini Nazir Shein Zeh Behema. Next guy says, Hareini Nazir Shezeh Chaya Ubehema. Both. Next guy says, Hareini Nazir She'ein Zeh Lo Chaya V'lo Behema. So now we have all, right, the spectrum. So then, Hareini Nazir, now we're going to have three extras. Last time we had six people, this is going to be nine. Thank you. Next guy says, She'ein Zeh Lo, Hareini Nazir She'echad Mikem Nazir. The next guy says, Hareini Nazir She'ein Echad Mikem Nazir. Okay, right? So one of you is a Nazir or one of you is not a Nazir. And the last guy says, Hareini Nazir She'kulchem Nazirim. I'm a Nazir if you're all Nazirim. So now the Mishnah says, Harei Kulan Nazirim. They're all Nazirim. Right. It seems to be Beit Shammai, right? It's weird that you don't have Beit Hillel here. So now the Gemara says, Tnei Tanechada Tish'a Nazirim. One version of this Mishnah is the way we read it, that there's nine people taking upon Niziruyot, and they all become Nizirim. B'tanya idach, tesha Niziruyot, that there's nine Niziruyot for one person. Okay? So, bishlama tish'a Nizirim. We understand that there could be tish'a Nizirim, and like we said, kigon dehave gavre tfei, di'it pas va'azobe. Because there were nine people that each said this lashon of hatpasa. Remember, we keep using that word, hatpasa, is that you say, I'm going to be a nazir based on something. You say a lashon of taking upon yourself a neder. Elatesha nizirut l'cha gavra heche mishkachala. Bishlamashit mishkachala kiditnan. I understand six. You could have it like we saw, the first six people in the Mishnah. But avatzlat hechi mishkachale. But the last six, and you can have someone who says, "I'm a nazir if this is an animal. I'm a nazir if this is not an animal. I'm a nazir if this is a behema. I'm sorry, I'm a nazir if this is a chaya or it's not a chaya. I'm a nazir if it's either a chaya or a behema. I'm a nazir if it's both a chaya and a behemah, right? But you can't say, I'm a nazir, if one of you is a nazir, on your own statement. You can't say, I'm a nazir if I'm a nazir, or I'm a nazir if I'm not a nazir, or I'm a nazir if all of you are nazirim. Those last three make no sense according to this interpretation. So you understand there were two ways the Mishnah was passed down. So the second way doesn't make any sense. Amar of Sheshet, right, Amar of Sheshet, Kigon de Amar, Hareini Nazir, Uniziru Takol Alai. It's a case where there were nine people, and then one guy came and said, I'm a Nazir, and I'm going to take upon all the Naziriyot of all those nine people. So in that case, right, he's a tenth. There were nine people before him, and then he commented on all nine of them and basically said, I'm going to take upon all your Naziriyot. And he basically becomes a Nazir for nine Tkufot. Okay. Hadron Alach Beit Shammai. Okay, we're finished with that parak. We're moving on to a new parak. Okay. New book for those using the Shanstein. Okay. Now we're going to talk about, we're finally getting into the, what's asur mutar for the nazir, what happens to him if he's over on his nazirut, okay, which we've referenced some of this stuff already, but we're going to deal with it much more directly now. Shlosha minim asurim b'nazir. There's three things that are forbidden to a nazir. Hatuma, right, tamemet, hatiglachat, shaving his head, payotse min agefen, and anything that comes from grapes. We always have to, the issue of shirim, okay, right, apropos for Yom Kippur, right? Shirim, so you have to have a shir of iser to be punished. So if you're hayotzei min hagefen, anything that comes, let's say you have a little bit of wine and some grapes and some other, right, and some of the seeds and the peels, so anything that's yotzei min hagefen, mitztarfim zeim zeh. Ve'en chayav ad shiochal min anavim kezayit. Okay, you need a kezayit of grapes in order to be chayav. Mishnah Rishona omeret ad shiyishte revi'it yayin. Okay, now Mishnah Rishona, what does that mean? It means there was an earlier version. Okay, we know this. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi put together the Mishnayot, but he put them together, right, from Mishnayot that were around for about 200 years. People were reciting them by heart, this and that. They were passing them down. So there were some things that were Mishnah Rishona that were later contradicted and changed. So originally they said, Ad Shishte Revi Yayin. Now it's not so clear if this means Revi Yayin instead of Kizayat of grapes. Is it going against that, right? Like, let's say you have an amount of liquid. Does it have to come from a Kizayat of grapes? It sounds like you have to have a Kizayat of grapes that turned into wine, according to the interpretation we saw about the Kizayat. And the Revi is a liquid measurement, right? So the Mishnah Rishona said Ad Shtei Revi'it Yayin. Some people say no, it's actually referring to what we're, the Kizayit they agree with, but now the Mishnah Rishona said if you have wine, you have to drink a whole Revi'it of Yayin. If you have grapes, it's Kizayit. Wine, it's a liquid measurement. And then the difference is that Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Afilu Shara Pito B'Yayin V'yesh B'Kadei L'Saref Kizayit Chayav. What does that mean? Let's say you dipped, okay, this was a common thing, we don't do this nowadays, at least not that I know of. People would dip their bread in wine. Now what happens? So let's say you have less than a revi'it of wine, but you soaked it in a piece of bread that was a kezayit. So now you're eating wine, right, in the bread, and the bread is a kezayit. So you, according to Rabbi Akiva, and according to the Mishnah Rishona, you need a full revi'it to be chayav, and there isn't a revi'it in there. According to Rabbi Akiva, who changed the Mishnah Rishona, that if you ate this kezayit of bread and it had wine in it, then that would already be chayav in the kezayit. And it comes from the pasuk, because the pasuk says kol mishrat anavim, anything soaked with grapes.
That's the same idea as taking a half, you know, less than a revi'it of wine and adding water to it.
Right, it would be the same, except that wine, right, that's a good question, because wine was always mixed with water in those days. They always had three parts water, one part wine. That was the general, that's what's called a revi'it. Because it would be a quarter the amount of wine, and, right, to get a cup, it would be a quarter the amount of wine and the whole cup. So let's say you had less than that, and it was diluted by water, right, I think you would, right, you probably would say it would be the same thing, according to Rabbi Akiva then, I guess. You had less than a revi'it of wine, but it's a good question. It's a good question. Right, right. That's also a good question. I don't know. Okay. וחייב על היין בפני עצמו, ועל הענבים בפני עצמם, ועל החרצנים בפני עצמם, ועל הזגים בפני עצמם. In other words, if you just drank wine, or you just had grapes, or you just had the charzan and the zag, we'll get to in a minute what the charzan and the zag is. We're going to see there's a machloket about which is which. Okay, right? One is going to, we'll see, I'm not going to tell you which is which, because we're going to see two opposite interpretations. One is the peel, and one is the seeds. Okay? And then there's still the fruit in between, right? There's three parts to the grape. So they talk about the anavim, the chartzanim, and the zag. Okay? The anavim, the assumption is that you're talking about the whole grape. Okay? The chartzanim is just the peel, or we'll see which one is which. And the zug is, let's say, right, one, the zag is one is just the inside and one is just the outside. Nowhere does it discuss, or we're going to see soon it will, but until now we haven't seen the, what if you just ate the inside? You peeled it, you took out the seeds, and you just ate the inside part. It doesn't seem to reference
flesh,
that.
Just the flesh?
The, right, right. So, okay. So now, let's say you just ate one, that would be fine. Why did they bother, why are they bothering to tell us this, right? Wouldn't you think that was obvious? Well, we're going to see that Rav Elazar ben Azaria doesn't agree. Rav Elazar ben Azaria omer, ein chayav ad shiochal shnei chartzanim v'zag. It's the only way you're chayav, where you get malkot, is if you eat two chartzanim v'zag. Why? What does it say in the pasuk? Mechartzanim, right, I don't remember the exact, right, I want to make sure I remember it exactly. Miyayin v'shechar, no, it doesn't quote it here. Mechartzanim v'ad zag, I think is the pasuk. There, but Gavin Shlosh, no.
Kol yimin is yom.
Oh, it's funny, I don't have it here. Mechartzanim v'ad zag, right? So mechartzanim v'ad zag. So chartzanim is plural, zag is singular. So what does he say? Ah, that means mechartzanim ba'ad zag. It has to be two chartzanim and one zag, and if you do anything else, you're not chayav. Okay? Right, right. It does make sense if you assume the chartzanim with the seeds. In modern Hebrew, the chartzanim with the seeds. Yeah.
Because it says
a lot of
chartzanim
with the
grapes.
Yeah, fair. Okay. Elu hen chartzanim ve'elu hen zagim. So what's what? Ha-chartzanim elu achitzonim. Okay, the first opinion says the chartzanim are not the seeds. They're the outside, the peel. Ha-zagim elu ha-pnimim. Tivrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, and we passed in this way, you can see the little gimel. Remember I've told you this? The little gimel references the ein mishpat near mitzvah. That's where it's really the ein mishpat. Okay, the near mitzvah counts mitzvah from the beginning of every parak. That's why the big letters are there on the side. If you're on the outside margin there, the little letters tell you where to find the halacha in the Rambam, in the Smag, which is a book we use less. They obviously used it more in, I think it was done around 1700, this Amish Pat Ner Mitzvah, by Rabbi Yeshua Boaz. He put it together. And he tells you where to find everything. So the Smag is Sefer Mitzvah Gedolot. It's a book by one of the Rishonim in Ashkenaz. And the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch. So it tells you where to find the halacha. So usually they put the note where at least the majority of poskim paskin that way. So the note, the letter appears by Rabbi Yosef's opinion, which makes sense also with modern Hebrew, as you pointed out. Rabbi Yosef omer shelotite, okay, here's your siman so that you don't get confused. Kizug shel behema. What's a zug of a behema? The bell. You know, like cows have those bells on them. So the bell is called a zug. Hachitzon, the outside part, is called the zug. So just like that is called the zug, right? The inside, hapnimi, inbal. Fine, that doesn't have to do with it. But the outside is the zug. That reminds you that the outside of the grape is the zag, and the inside are the chartzanim. Okay? That's his mnemonic device.
So inbal means clapper?
I guess so.
Is that what it's called? The name inside the bell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a name. You wouldn't want to translate it, but it's a nice name.
Okay. So now we're going to move on to the Gemara. Shlosha minim asurim benazir, hatum'ah v'chulei. Hayotze min ha-gefen in, gefen atzmo lo. Right, so things that come from the gefen, it says in the Mishnah, right? So what does that mean? The fruits, right? But the gefen itself, the leaves and the branches and everything, not. Okay, so now they say, Matnitin delo Rabbi Elazar. The Mishnah must not follow Rabbi Elazar's opinion. Detanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Afilu alim v'lulavim v'mashma. Okay, even the leaves and the lulavim are like the twigs. In other words, there's the ikar branch. We're going to see that's clearly not included. But the smaller branches, the branch out, and the grape leaves, according to Rabbi Elazar, are also forbidden. And that clearly doesn't match our Mishnah, because our Mishnah said, kol ha-yotzei min ha-gefen, meaning the fruits and not the grape leaves and the little branches. Ika da'amre la, asefa, eino chayav ela ad shiochal mina anavim kezayit. Some people say that we learn out from the sefa part, which is, that it says, eino chayav, until you eat from the anavim kezayit, mina anavim in mehagefen atzmo lo. And then they said on this line, right? In other words, you're only chayav yikazayit of the anavim. What do we learn from here? Only if you eat anavim and not from the leaves and the I think they call them the shoots. Mm-hmm. The lulavim or the shoots. And then matinitin de lo karabi elazar. Detanya rabi elazar omer afilo alim de lulavim bimashma. Okay, so either which way, doesn't matter how you learned it out, right? One learned it out from kol yotzei min ha-gefen in the Mishnah, and another learned it out from you're only chayav you eat kezayit anavim. Either which way, they learn out that it seems clear from our Mishnah that it doesn't hold like Rabbi Elazar, that you're not chayav if you eat the lulavim and the alim. Okay. Now we're going to get into something which is going to take us all through tomorrow's daf. Okay, we'll see how far we get today. About what's the machloket between Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim about this. And it all is based on, you know, the Yugimel Midot, we darshan. So there's going to be, okay, there's Prat Uklal Uprat. And there's Riboy Umiut. Okay? So we're going to darshan this. Sorry that I didn't bring Tanachim for everybody. But anyway, maybe tomorrow we'll open them up inside. anyway, we have, you can also see it in the Torah War. You have the Pesukim. So if you look at the Pesuk, let's just start looking at the Pesuk, okay? It's Bamidbar Vav Pesuk Gimel. You have it in the Torah War in Ot Aleph. Miyayin v'shechar yazir. Okay, that's specific, right? Yayin and shechar yazir. Chometz yayin v'chometz shechar lo yishteh. V'chometz shrat anavim lo yishteh. V'anavim v'yiveshim lo yochal. Okay, but that's not... Right, it's not the whole pasuk. We really need all the pasukim. Okay, so give me a second.
We have it at the beginning.
Right, if you look at the beginning of the Shanstein, they have all the pasukim.
Yeah,
that's true.
Volume 1.
Okay.
They doesn't have it in 2.
Right, it probably doesn't have it in 2. I'm guessing, but I don't know. Okay.
I had a bookmark in it the whole time, and now I was just
two.
Okay.
This is
2.
Yeah.
In 2 has it, great. So look in the beginning of your volume. Okay, you can follow inside, but I'm going to start reading inside the Gemara, and then we'll see. Okay, so keep your finger in the Pesukim, and we'll flip it. B'mai kamifligay. Rabbi Lazar darish riboy umiuta, v'rabbanan darshe klale uprate. Okay, these are two different, right? A riboy is to include, and a miut is to exclude, right? And a klal uprate... A klal uprat, a klal is a general, and a prat is a detail. They're very similar, right? And we're going to see why does one darshan one and one darshan the other. We're not going to finish
Simon
the whole thing.
Wolf.
What?
Simon Wolf.
Oh, what is it?
He has a table
of this whole thing. Oh, that's convenient. Okay. Yes, I did not have time post Yom Kippur to put one together. Okay. So, Rabbi Lazar Darish Riboya Miuta. How does it work? Miyayin v'shechar yazir, mi'et, right? So we start with miyayin v'shechar yazir. That already is specific. Mikol asher ye'aseh mi'gefen hayayin, right? That's in, I believe, the next pasuk, right? The next pasuk, okay? Pasuk dalet is kol yimein yizro, mikol asher ye'aseh mi'gefen hayayin. So now all of a sudden, it's not just yayin and shechar, right? And there it also adds chometz yayin v'chometz shechar, okay? But now they're saying, Mikol Asher Yaseh. So that, it started with a mi'ut, and then it went to a ribuy. Riba, mi'et, riba. Okay, so then, Mi'ay v'shechar yazir mi'et, and then Mikol Asher Yaseh mi'gefenayin riba. So now he's telling us, mi'et v'riba, riba. In other words, once riba hakol. Okay, so if you're mima'et something, you have a mi'ut, and then a riboy, what's the riboy coming to tell you? We're including more than the mi'ut. It's, yes, we specified certain things, but now that we generalized, we're going to include other things, and that's Rabbi Elazar, who says that we're including what's going to be included more, the shoots and the leaves. Okay? My riba, right, and then once you assume that we're including something, then you have to always say, well, what are we including? So my riba kol mile. Okay, so then it included everything, basically. But wait, if you're going to include everything, then what was the point of having a mi'ut? It must be, yes, it's including more than Miyayim v'shechar yazir, okay? But now, there must be a reason why it said Miyayim v'shechar yazir. It must have to be mema'et something. So my mi'et, mi'et shavishta, it's excluding the real, the thicker branches, okay? That's not included, because those are really not meant for eating at all. Okay, so that's Rabbi Elazar. So you follow? It's a ribuy v'mi'ut, right? Miyayim v'shechar yazir. Okay, and then mi'ut is going to be mikol asher yaseh, and then we're going to say that it's right the ribuy. Sorry, it's the opposite. It's mi'ed and then ribuy. Okay, so once it's mi'ed and then it's ribuy, so there's some inclusion and then there's some exclusion. So we're going to include even the shoots and the leaves, but we're going to exclude the branches.
Even though Chatzanim and Zag are after.
So we're going to talk about Chatzanim and Zag. What do they do? Because we're going to see now, we're going to have Pralu, Klatu, Pral, according to the other guy, which is basically the Prad is going to be Mechatzanim and Zag. So what does Rabbi Elazar do with the Chatzanim and Zag? We're going to get to that. And he's going to say, I need that for something else, and therefore it's not part of this Klatu Prad. We're going to have a whole discussion about it. Okay, so hold off on the question. We will get there. Right, because it's obvious that they're doing two and they're doing three, right? They're skipping something, Rabbi Elazar.
Right,
Mikol Asher Yaseh Migefanayayim, and then it says Mechatzanim Ba'atzag Lo Yochal. So it seems to be very clearly. Right, it's difficult, right. So we're going to have to, right, but he just doesn't look at that as a mi'ut because he looks at it as something else. Okay? He's going to learn from that. I mean, I can already tell you. What's he going to learn from that? Mechatzanim Ba'atzag, that it has to be two Chatzanim and one Zag. He's going to agree with that opinion, that you're only Chayav if you do two Chatzanim and one Zag, and therefore he doesn't use this for this drasha. Remember, we have that whole rule of drasha. You can only use things once, although, obviously, right, we're going to see. Okay. So, Rabbanan Darshe Klalei Uprate. How does it work? Miyayim v'shechar yazir prat. Okay, so far that's just like the mute, right? Mikol asher yaseh migefanayayin klal. Mechartzanim ba'atzag, chazar v'peret. Okay, now he's going to say, what's the additional thing now? The chartzanim ba'atzag, as Shoshana pointed out. Mechartzanim ba'atzag. So now we have a new mi'ut. So what are we doing with that? So now, how does a klalu pratu, a pratu klalu prat work? Okay, pratu klalu prat, iatadan ela ke'en haprat. Okay, how does it work? You started with a detail, then you went and included all sorts of other things, but then you gave a detail again. So what are we going to say? That whenever you want to include, whatever you're going to include, it has to be the same as that detail. Now, obviously, you're going to have to say, well, what makes that detail the last detail? So now you're going to have to obviously say, well, what makes that detail unique? The Chatzanim Ba'atzag. So now, so iatadan ela ke'en haprat. Okay, so now you can only include things that are like the prat. Maha prat miforash pri upsolet pri, just like the prat includes the pri itself and the psolet of the pri. Okay, we're going to see later what the pri and the psolet of the pri is. Av kol pri upsolet pri. Okay, so therefore anything that's a pri and a psolet pri. Okay, right. We're going to see that this includes right. The psolet pri is the chometz and things like that. That's like the bad part of the pri. Okay, like when it goes sour, and the psolet pri. There's going to be like a few things. There's the pri and the psolet pri. So they're going to say ma prat mifurash pri psolet pri, which is the chometz, because that's listed specifically in the pasuk. So therefore, any pri psolet pri, they're going to say it includes things that have like worms in them. Okay, that are already bad. They're also forbidden. So now they're going to say, wait a minute, why don't you say something else? Why don't you say, ima prat miforash pri gamor, av kol pri gamor? Why don't you make it much more general? In other words, why are you saying that that's a prat? You could say that it's a much more general thing, that it's saying anything that's a full-fledged pri, meaning it's ripened already, okay, to exclude things that are not ripened. Amart im ken, ma hiniach lecha hakatub b'mashma'o shelo amru. In other words, if that's the case, it must be including something that we didn't already know. Anavim lechim b'yiveshim haktivi. We already learned that anavim that are either dried or fresh already written, right? Because it says anavim, right? Any anavim lechim b'yaveshim. It says specifically in the pasuk. If you look in the end of pasuk gimel, yayin b'chometz also haktive. It's already said. Ha'ein alecha ladun kelashon acharon ele kelashon rishon. Therefore, the only thing you're left to say is it must be the pre and the psolet pre. Okay? And that's what it must be coming to add and not ripened fruits. Ume'achar she'sofenu l'rabot kol davar. Since in the end, we would have assumed everything. Talmud lomar mechartzanim ba'adzag. And therefore, you can darshan. In other words, since they already listed all these things, and therefore you can assume everything that's like that, which would include a lot of things. Therefore, it specifically came to tell you, mechartzanim ba'adzag. Lomar l'cha kol makam sha'ata motzei pratu klal. And now they're kind of, what they seem to be doing here is they're teaching you that we can learn from here what a klal u'prat u'klal does, or prat u'klal u'prat does. That since there would be no reason to say mechartzanim ba'adzag, it must be coming to tell you that kol makom sha'ata motzei prat u'klal, ia tarasha l'moshcho l'duno ke'en ha'prat. Ela nas, oh, sorry, this is a question. They're saying, sorry, one second. Chashvele wrote kol davar. Ma tamud lomar mechartzanim ba'adzag. Why don't we say it like this? Lomar lecha kol makom sha'ata motzei prat u'klal, ia tarasha l'moshcho l'duno ke'en ha'prat. Ela nas klal mosif ala prat. Right, this is what they're saying. You might have thought that anytime you see a klalu prat, that you would assume the klal is coming to increase over the prat, to include anything else. So mechartzanim ba'adzag comes to teach you, it's like bone'av for every other case, okay? That it's only going to be like the prat, just like they specified in Nazir. Okay, they're using this as like the classic case to teach you by how it works.
Could it be said that they put it there for emphasis? That you may not eat anything from the inside to the out of the grape. Like,
it could be.
It's like emphasis. Instead of being specific.
Yes, you could say that, but that's not what they want to say. And then they want to teach you about this thing of prat u'klalu prat, and the way they understand prat u'klalu prat is that the prat always includes not just the davar itself, which is what you're saying. It includes something additional that you, right, that's similar to that. Like, what typifies this? We're going to include something else that's like that category. That's how it works.
Well, what happened to the shoots and the leaves?
Ah, so right now, right, they're not relating to that. They're not relating to that. Because the other opinion related to that, the mi'et viri boy, okay? According to this, right, the...
That's exactly the point. Prat is saying that the shoots and leaves are not
included. Right, that they're not included. Exactly. Right.
It's talking about every form of fruit.
Right, the fruit and not anything else. Yes, exactly. Not the shoots and the leaves. And that's why the other guy holds that the shoots and leaves are included, because he holds the chartanim ba'adzag isn't part of this mi'uviri boy. The chartanim ba'adzag. No, oh no, I'm confusing that thing with something else. No. Right, sorry, I got confused for a minute. This is exactly the machloket. Now, Rabbi Lazar says the alim and the lulavim are included because he has the miudbiri boy because the riboy includes it. This guy, the second opinion, the chachamim, don't have the riboy.
Okay, so now my question is, yeah. Is there a riboy mute?
No. So he doesn't does it exist?
Yeah.
I think it doesn't exist. I think it's just riboy and miut, if I remember correctly. Right, exactly.
It's very arbitrary.
Well, if I remember correctly, what I was reading about this is that, in general, Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim disagree with which do we apply mi'ut and riboy, or do we apply pratu klal to a general?
You could also do just pratu klal.
Right. There's also a pratu klal and a klal uprat, and right. We have those also. We're going to get to some of them, I think, in tomorrow's daf. I don't remember exactly what all appears there, but we're going to get to the stuff. Okay, I think we're going to stop here for today. We'll pick up from the bottom tomorrow. Okay, we'll do, so the whole, I think it's almost like the whole daf. If you're a little confused, we're going to get to more of this tomorrow. We're going to go more in detail about it, and it'll be much more clear by the end of tomorrow. Because tomorrow's daf, I already went ahead. It's already, it makes it much clearer. You'll follow better. Okay?